Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brenton. Go by SEC Mike on them Twitter streets. And there he is, everybody's favorite on-time cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, it's always a good show, Shane, when we don't have to sing or dance or wear makeup. And
But Mike, honestly, we probably should pour one out for them Longhorns. Another one bites the dust. Another one's been kicked off college football playoff island, man. And the Oklahoma's just hanging on, ain't they? They're going to hang on all the way.
Oh, kicking dirt on old Texas. I'm not there with you just yet, buddy, because a lot of chaos could still be coming. But, man, I think this is today. I think it's been the best weekend. We say it all the time, but I think it's been the best weekend of SEC football to date.
Oh, brother. Brother. I mean, I didn't think I would enjoy a Texas A&M South Carolina game, right? I didn't think that was going to happen, but we were all absolutely glued to that thing, man. It was wonderful. Well, I mean, unless you're a Gamecock fan. And then the segue to the great games on the second round. Third was a little less, you know what I'm saying? But it still was exciting, man. A lot of action, a lot of college football action, which we're going to get into. And before we get going, don't forget, hit that thumbs up. Really does help us out. Thank you so much. And it's free. Doesn't cost a dime.
Yeah. You know what else doesn't cost a dime, Shane?
What's that, my friend?
Praising them. Oh, wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Shane falling apart again.
Oh, God.
He swung the hell. I'm not much better. But Steven, shout out Steven. He grew the lead in the weekly pick'ems. The Cousins, shout out Cousin Jordan, tied Steven. So the Cousins are just one behind Steven. I got six, so I fell behind everybody. So I'm three behind Steven, two behind the Cousins. Yep. And there's Shane in the caboose with yet again the lowest week. He's seven back from old Steven. Are you going to catch up in the last couple weeks here?
No, doesn't look like it, Mike. And, you know, and I was looking at Jordan, Cousin Jordan's pick. I was like, I'm so glad we had him on this week because I thought he was way off. But no, that was me.
Sorry, Jordan. But hey, again, you beat us. So nothing to apologize about.
I remember I was like, damn, I can't believe he picked Texas. That's what I said. And then now I'm looking like, golly, if he didn't pick Texas, he would have had a perfect week.
Right. Well, hey, I was going to say this, Shane. One thing you don't have to apologize for.
Yeah.
And that would be praising them Oklahoma Sooners. How about it, Shay? They've reinserted themselves into the playoff mix here with a 23-21 win in Tuscaloosa, Shane. What a masterclass of coaching by Brent Venables. We had his ass fired about 2 months ago. Elite performance. And hell, if you just look at the statistics, you say, what the hell? Alabama outgained Oklahoma 406 mm-hmm. to 212. But that's why you shouldn't look at yardage, Shane, because that don't tell you everything you need to know. What tells you what you need to know is Oklahoma's defense whipping some ass here, Shane. Eli Bowen, 87-yard pick six. That was huge. They sacked Ty Simpson four times, including a strip sack. Taylor Wine blocked field goal just before halftime. Again, in a two-point game, every play critical, especially blocking a field goal. The three turnovers from Alabama resulted in 10 points for the Sooners. Oklahoma, zero turnovers. And that's how you go into Alabama and get yourself a win and reinsert yourself into the college football playoff.
Remember that old saying, defense wins championships? That's what this felt like, man. And you're right. Yes, they gave up a lot of yards, but they made key turnovers. And honestly, man, it just felt like that. I had to look up Sooner Magic. I said, listen, what is this? We all joke about it. I've seen the T-shirts, right? What exactly is this voodoo that is going on over there in Norman, Oklahoma? And somehow, brother, somehow, some way, honestly, I felt like Alabama was going to win this game until they didn't, brother. And every time they got a little positive momentum, they'd find a turnover or some way to keep this crowd out of it. So absolutely tremendous game. I feel like up to this date, since I've seen Oklahoma, since I've seen Brent Venables over here in the SEC, this is the best game I've seen up to date. It wasn't pretty on offense, but it was old school football, man. It was physical football. It was I'm gonna beat the shit out of you up front. I'm not gonna allow you to run the football. And this is exactly what we signed up for when Texas and Oklahoma decided to join this league. Nick Saban, everybody there, man. Arch, I knew it was over as soon as I saw Peyton Manning. Oh wait, shit, we're talking about another game. Yeah. Sorry. We'll get to that one here in a second, but there's a Peyton Manning curse going around, and I feel like Texas just found that one.
He was tuned into the Alabama game is what it was, so he cursed Bama, I guess, with that. But, just, again, a hell of a performance. Oklahoma, again, they only scored one offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
But that's all it took, man, because when you got this kind of defense, again, shout out Brent Venables, and something that I noticed on rewatch this morning, Shane, Alabama, they must not coach up their running backs to pass block because seemingly every time Ty Simpson was getting hit or making a critical interception, it was because running back completely got blown up on a pass block. So, again, I'm sure, you know, that is something Oklahoma – it's not a coincidence, Shane, that there was like, you know, six huge plays and six times Brent Venables schemed it up to where Alabama's running backs had to block someone. I 1,000%. I'm confident Brent Venables schemed that up. He must have seen a weakness in Alabama's pass protection. And again, that goes to the master class of coaching. And again, we've said a lot of good things about Ty Simpson. I'm not putting this on Ty Simpson because, you know, not that he had a great game, but the last three games, Shane, his lowest passer ratings in each game since the week one loss to Florida State. So he's starting to kind of come back down to earth. And I think we're seeing it. Again, I'm not putting the blame on Ty Simpson. And the games are, of course, Oklahoma, LSU, South Carolina. They struggled in all these games. So what is that telling me, Shane? That's telling me that if Ty Simpson struggles, Alabama struggles.
Yeah.
Because they cannot run the football to save their damn life. They're having to get trick plays and end arounds, and they got to bring in that big beast left tackle to put him in the backfield and throw him, you know, use him. Now they're using him as decoys. I mean, they are using every damn trick in the book because they can't, even when Oklahoma's got three defensive linemen out there, they're terrified to go right at them because they don't have confidence in, again, this is something. Stephen Lassen, the smart one, he comes on here and says this is going to catch up to him eventually. Mm-hmm. He was looking at the college football playoff. It caught up to him here on Saturday. Does this concern you at all? Again, Alabama's not done.
Yeah.
If they go 10-2, they're a lock to get in. But are you concerned at all about the future of Alabama?
I am, especially coming off that LSU game. And I feel like the recipe's out there now, right? And this isn't finding a running game is not something you just find in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. I'm not expecting the Iron Bowl to come together. So they're going to have to be not gimmicky. I don't think that's the word, but like you said, be creative, find ways to you know, make passing plays, running plays, if you will. And that's exactly what they're going to have to do here. But yeah, it you know, what it reminds me a lot of is Ole Miss late last year, right? When we've got a defensive lineman in the backfield because that was the only form of running that we could get on short down situations. And that still blows my mind. I mean, honestly, when I think of Alabama, I think of big offensive line. I think about really good defense and running backs, you know, and I mean, look at King Henry, Mark Ingram, all these guys that came through here. And now I feel like the talent's there, but this offensive line isn't creating enough push up front to have those. And if it's all put on Ty, we see what happens, man. These guys are pinning their ears back. He's running for his life and he's going to make mistakes.
Yeah. Now, how about Oklahoma? Buddy. After that Ole Miss, it was like, ooh, I mean, they were not just us, Shay. They were. I saw the threads.
Yeah.
I love going to Sooner Scoop. Win or lose, I like to see what the fans are saying, right?
Yes.
Get his ass out of here. When are we going to get serious about football? We can't compete in the SEC. They were saying it, not us.
Yeah.
We were saying it, too. But now that they're 8-2, now that they got ultimate trap game coming up here, Shane, with Missouri. But we'll have all week to talk about that. But thoughts on Oklahoma, now with this defense playing out of their mind. And keep in mind, Shane, they didn't even have Armase Thomas, arguably their best defensive player. Uh-huh. But they're just making play after play. John Mateer didn't make any critical mistakes.
Yes.
And you know, that's all it took to beat one of the best teams, snap the nation's longest home winning streak. I mean, not that we're sitting here guaranteeing it, but after back-to-back road wins,
yes,
could Oklahoma make a deep run and perhaps even win the national championship if their defense keeps playing like this?
Yes, yes. I feel because they didn't even have everybody, right? And one of the things that I like about it is just it's the coaching and it's getting hot at the right time. We're going to talk about a couple other teams here in a minute that are getting hot at the right time, but Oklahoma is one of those. Like, it honestly, I go back to the Tennessee game. That one, I was kind of saying, you know, maybe that was a one-off, right? Maybe Tennessee lost that game, but the more I watched, the more I got to pair it with this Alabama matchup on the road. I'm looking at this Oklahoma team as they're a program. If the stars align and if they make less mistakes than the other team, they can find their way on victory lane here. And what's more important here is the last two games are against two teams that are now, you know, one's homeless, one's coachless, you know, and the other one is no longer in the college football playoff run. Yeah. And it's at home, you know, and that place can be violent. They can be loud and you just cannot take your foot off the gas here. You talk about if they make it, they're going to have to earn it every single Saturday coming up.
Man. Like just what a damn game. You know what?
What, brother?
What a damn
classic
game.
Classic matchup right here. And Bama fans are just like, I don't get it. I don't get it. They got us last year. They get us. Is this the team? You know, everybody has that team or two that they just like Tennessee's going down to Florida next week and Florida can't win a fucking thing. But I'm like, I'm worried to death because we can't win down there in the swamp, you know? So I wonder if that's starting to go in their minds, you know, every time they're going to face these guys.
Yep, no doubt, Shane. Brent Venables owns the state of Alabama. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know who owns the state of Texas? Kirby! Come on, buddy. 35-10. Georgia whips McConaughey's ass here. I'm glad he had a front row seat for this debacle here, Shane, because them dogs took him behind the shed. You're already ready to eliminate Georgia,
yep.
Or excuse me, Texas. I'm not quite ready to go that far, but I get it because this is a 25-point defeat. But again, I think that says more about Georgia than anything. To me, Shane, the critical segment in the game, Georgia had the ball, 4th-and-1, 3:19 remaining in the third quarter. The score was 14-10. So we're about to go in the fourth quarter. It was 14-10. Georgia was inside its own 40. They went for it on 4th-and-1. Hell of a play call by Mike Bobo here. Gunner hit Josh McCray wide open, got the conversion. They connected Gunner and London Humphreys for a 30-yard touchdown. Soon after, it was 21-10, and that's when massive nutsack Kirby called the successful onside surprise kick. Cash Jones, I didn't realize Cash Jones from Texas, so even sweeter for old Cash. He was the one that got that. Georgia scored right after that, made it 28-10 with 8:53 remaining. That was all she wrote. And Georgia's beaten Texas three times in 15 months, Shane. Yeah. Is there a case to be made that Georgia is the SEC's best team? I mean, they're heating up at the right time. And, buddy, these last couple wins have been pretty damn impressive.
Who the hell wants to play this team right now, right? I mean, yeah. They are just out there just sucking the soul out of the fan base, you know? That I mean, Kirby Smart is just – I mean, there's one thing about being gutsy, right? And there's another that's just saying, hey, you know what? Our boys are better than yours, and we got this. You're talking about the fourth down, the onside kick, you know? These are things that – I don't think we saw last year, but we're starting to see it now. Like Kirby is getting more confident in this roster, which is a scary place to be because this may be the team. This may be the one that nobody's talking about. It's crazy. We're not talking about Georgia as much as we usually do, right? Especially nationally. Nationally, it's Indy. Oh, my God, this quarterback. God gift of football. You know, Ohio State, what are they doing today, right? It's like even Texas A&M, we're going to get to the, oh my gosh, undefeated team in the SEC. But right now, there's a program that is brewing down there in Athens, Georgia, that's been there, that's not afraid to fight anybody, and they're going to do it, man. I mean, I don't know if you got any of Kirby's clips, but he pretty much says it, man. He goes, these boys, they like to hit, and that's what we got to see this weekend.
I'm just glad you said that, Shane, because you know what? You want to come to Georgia just to cash a check? Get your ass out of here. Was this a shot at Texas? You be the judge.
21 points in the fourth quarter. What did you think about how the offense finished this game, especially after a third quarter where it was hard to sustain longer drives?
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the off season. It's what we build our core culture around, is being the more physical team. And you have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want a check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing. So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
Well, not nothing. I mean, you could have a prominent SEC podcast, you know.
But hey, no, I mean, again, is he firing shots at Sarkisian in Texas? I don't know. Yeah. But I certainly think it applies, doesn't it, Shane? Where Texas is, you know, again, are they super soft? Not necessarily, but it does seem. That's going to be a huge issue when they play these dogs and a lot of these marquee games where Texas is not quite as – they don't have that edge that Georgia's got.
Yeah, and you know, you're starting to see a little bit of a transition in college football, right? Especially with these younger coaches that are coming in here. And I'm not saying they're softer, but there's some teams that didn't even do physical contact in the offseason, right? And then you've got others that said, hey – if you're hurt or you're injured, there's two different things, you know, and show exhibit ABC. These are guys that go out there and play hurt. So I feel like that's the kind of culture they've created that Kirby's created down there. And I feel like it resonates through that locker room, because the way these players not only act, but the way that they play, they're just extremely physical. They're defense swarms. This is a defense that we kind of shit on at the start of the season that is now coming into form and becoming the Kirby smart defenses that we've recognized. A lot of pressure in the backfield, creating turnovers, just pure chaos. So that's the thing. I was always saying, if they could get they held Texas to what, 20 yards rushing? You know what I'm saying? So you do that, you're going to win a lot of football games, Mike.
Yeah, and again, last season, we shouldn't really count statistics and things like that necessarily, but I believe in the three games that Georgia has played Texas the last 2 years,
yeah,
Texas has like a combined, I don't know the exact figure, but I think it's like 53 or 55 rushing yards in three games. So again, that kind of goes to show the losing the line of scrimmage, not being able to man up here necessarily. And, yep. You know, I didn't even think like, I didn't think Arch Manning had like a horrible performance by any means. I just think that, you know, the defense was all over him. And shout out Gunner. I mentioned the big plays, but this is like the quietest five touchdown performance in the history of football. He's being very efficient. And shout out Mike Bobo, who many a Georgia fan have tried to run this guy off, Shane. It was evident time and time again throughout this game. Texas was very confused, particularly in the secondary. That fourth down call that I mentioned, I mean, there was just time and time again where Bobo would is obviously seeing something to where if we move this guy in motion, we do this, they're not going to know how to adjust. And shout out Gunner for identifying it. That touchdown I mentioned to London Humphreys, the guy's wide ass open, and Texas is supposed to have a really good secondary, yet it was bust after bust after bust all game long. So shout out the dogs, like you said, man. We're about to talk about A&M, but I think we're truly splitting hairs right now. I know A&M's got a better record,
yeah,
but on a neutral field, it's like I favor A&M by like 0.1. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know who I favor, Mike.
Yay!
Mizzou fan number 7 coming through. 20 memberships. Thank you so much, cuz. We're going to read those at the end of the show, but I absolutely appreciate it. Hell of a donation, man. Absolutely. I mean, who had more carries? Mizzou fan or Hardy in that last game. So
I believe Hardy edged him out slightly here. You know what?
Oh, brother. Hey, can I ask you a question, though, real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, I mean, there was a moment. I mean, we're in the third quarter of this thing, and Texas scores. They're within 4 points, right? Going right into the fourth quarter. Did you ever think that Texas could get back into this game? Did that ever cross your mind? Because for me personally, I felt like Georgia owned this game, even though the score was close in the third quarter. And obviously they pulled away in the fourth. But did you think that if they played this game again, neutral site, do you feel like there would be a different result right now?
I think that's why Kirby's doing a surprise onside kick.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there was I think there was a major coaching advantage. I think that's the best way to say it in this matchup, Sarkisian versus Smart, because the rosters are very similar in terms of just overall talent. Hell, you might even say Texas has a better roster. I don't know that that's the case. But, again, they're very, very, very similar.
Yeah.
And then Georgia just dominated. Again, it was that sequence, you know, where the score, it was a 4-point game. Georgia made a couple plays. They push it to 11. They get it onside. Then it's 18. All of a sudden, you got no shot to get back in this ball game. So, yeah, I think that's a credit to Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart, where I just think they dominated Texas coaching wise.
And I'll ask you one more other question about Texas. AP poll comes out. They didn't drop as much as I thought they would have. And I feel like, you know, we saw the percentages. I saw like the AI percentages and whatnot. They still have an opportunity. We're going to get to A&M here in a second. It's probably the best thing that could happen is A&M not losing a game. Obviously, that's going to be their championship. But let's just devil's advocate here, Mike. If Texas wins that game right now, the way things are going, do you think that's enough to get them into the – you feel like they still need a little bit of chaos in front of them?
They still need chaos.
Yeah.
They need Notre Dame to lose. You know, they need things. I don't know it all. I don't have all of it in front of me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to take some work, I think. But I don't think they're done like you.
Yeah.
We got a couple weeks of season left to play. You know what?
Tim asked, Cousin Shane, do you talk in your sleep? I don't know. You know?
I do.
Fun fact, I have no idea what I do in my sleep. You know, when I was younger, I did sleepwalk. I don't know if you knew this, Mike. But I was that was the only time I walked was when I was sleeping. But apparently I was pretty good at it. Mom caught me one time halfway down the driveway, you know, and you tell a little kid that hey, you're walking around in your pajamas, you know, you get a little freaked out. You want to get locked in your room. Of course, they could have been lying to me the whole time. I don't know, you know, because I was sleeping. So,
well, speaking of sleepwalking, you know who was sleepwalking in the first half, Shane? Buddy, this may have been the game of the year. Not if you were a Gamecock, but a game of the year for everybody else, Shane, because A&M wins at 31-30, as predicted at halftime of this show. But hell, I never thought it would happen because Carolina, Shane, led 30-3 at halftime. Carolina had 312 yards of offense. A&M had 132. I mean, they were tripling them nearly.
Yeah.
A&M had 3 turnovers, I believe multiple in the red zone. It was just a calamity, drop passes. Carolina had 108 rushing yards. A&M had -9. I mean, it was a laugh for Shane Beamer's up there clapping. We're going to whoop our ass. We did it last year. We're going to do it again. And then, Shane, A&M outscored him 28-0 in the second half, of course. A&M, 371 yards in the second half. Carolina had 76. A&M had 298 passing yards in the second half. Carolina had 63.
Jeez.
Carolina also only had 13 rushing yards. I mean, good night. A&M had 18 first downs in the second half. Mm-hmm. Carolina had 4. A&M had 9.8 yards per play in the second half, so basically a first down per play.
Yeah.
27-point comeback, largest in program history, first team since 2004, Shane, to overcome a 27-point deficit in the Southeastern Conference. Can't kill the Aggies, Shane. You just can't do it. Buddy, is this the team of destiny or what?
Brother, it sure does feel like it, don't it? I mean, I always talk about national championship teams, and I feel like you look back at two or three of these games during those seasons, and you're saying, hey, that one almost got by us, right? That one could have been, I don't want to say the nail in the coffin. Back in the day, it would have, though. You know what I'm saying? When we had the BCS championship, you lose that game, you're out. That's how, and there's a lot of good teams that lost those one game. So I just feel like this right here was the moment that Texas A&M, we were always excited about Elko, right? And what he could bring and what, actually, I was excited about just Texas A&M in general, because I'm like, this is the perfect place. You know, this is no reason that this program cannot be successful. They just got to find a good coach. And they brought some ringers in there that I thought this is the guy. But I feel like today was the moment when we, at that halftime, we said, you know what? We got ourselves a damn football coach. You know, I feel like coming out there, because Elko talked about it coming in. He basically gave you the recipe of what I need to do to get this team right. And if we do that, we'll come out here and win the second half. And by God, they did, brother. They came out here. They got back to trying to establish the rushing game. The defense tightened up. They gave Marcel, there was incredible catches that made Marcel's life a little bit easier. And by God, the fans were ready. And as soon as the fans got into this thing, I was just jumping on my book. I was getting my bets in because I knew it was coming, brother.
So, of course, the million-dollar question, Shane. What the hell did you tell them Aggies at halftime?
I'm going to ask the question everybody's going to ask. What did you say at halftime?
Honestly, not much. Like all we talked about was, you know, we have an identity of who we are. If we play to our identity, we're a good football team. If we start thinking that's not who we are, if we start thinking we're something else, if we start trying to play a different way, that's not us. That's not who we are. And we're a blue-collar team. We're a physical team. We're a team that has to control the line of scrimmage. We're a team that has to play with a lot of energy. And we just weren't doing any of those things in the first half. And I think the vibes were good. Given, you know, all things considered, the vibes were good. The kids believed we were going to come out and win that game in the second half, whether they really did or not. That was the energy in the locker room. And then obviously, you know, we made some plays early in the second half to get the momentum going, to get the crowd going. And from that point, it just kind of spiraled in our favor.
Kept their cool, Shane. That was,
yeah, I'm sure he did.
How many chairs do you think got smashed at halftime? You know what?
That's right, man. I'm sure there was. Now, obviously, Marcel, I feel like he's kind of the linchpin of this thing, right? If Marcel's completely dialed in, no reason Texas A&M can't. Because you look at this, man. I'm looking at the wide receivers, not the ones that are emerging. Where I'm talking Concepcion. We're talking about some of these guys that actually took that next step. They weren't even the A-listers, if you will. You look at the running game, obviously didn't get that going, but I have full confidence that Elko will get that thing rolling in next week. The offensive line looked great. The defense, oh my gosh, Hal just pinning his ears back. It's only natural that he ends this thing. But it was just, this is a full, I mean, this is the team, right? This is the team, and I'm. People are like, Shane, get off the bandwagon. And I'm like, hell no, man. I'm riding this one, son.
All right, so from the highs of highs.
Yes.
To the lows of lows. Where do we go here for Carolina? I mean, they're done with Beamer. Now, yeah, I don't think they should be, but I get it. Shout out to I didn't even see this when I said that. Johnny Delgado, shout out. Y'all think Beamer's going to write 33-3 on this one? I mean, they are just out on his ass, which I get it.
And they should be, Mike, shouldn't they? This is the biggest upset in history. I'm seeing 1 in 260 something, you know. So that's just how often this is happening. You know, we're seeing videos of coach, you know, yelling at the fans, his fans, of course, going into the tunnel at, you know, at halftime. These guys came out and just like totally got away from what was working the first half and almost became too conservative. And then when it's too late, they're trying to get back into it. And they even had an opportunity there at the end of the game. And I'm scratching my head saying, and this is the play calling we're going to run with. So yeah, there was some moments, but this falls back not on the players, man. Even though we're gonna criticize what Lenore Sellers did or didn't do, and we're gonna criticize what this running game did or didn't do, but at the end of the day, Mike, this is coaching. This is coaching letting this one get away from him.
How about Elko's massive nuts sack? Shane, give us $10. Shout out Elko. A massive nut sack beats a shriveled gamecock any day. Gig 'em to the 12th man for sticking in their seats after half of witnessing history.
What about this one from Shin? $20. Yeah. The super chat is in memoriam to the 25-26 Texas Longhorn football program. Rest in peace. GoFundMe at hashtag we need a coach and hashtag we need an offense. All donations are appreciated and tax deductible. Sarah McLaughlin is our spokesperson.
What if they beat A&M, though? I mean, it's still, if they don't make the playoffs, it's still bust, don't you think?
But what if they make the playoffs? What if, I mean, this would be like 2025 icing on the cake. Something happened. I know we don't have the AP up right now, but there's still some games that could happen, right? There's some teams that can clearly get dropped out of that top 15 mix, if you will. And then if you beat a top three, top two Texas A&M, I mean, it's going to be pretty damn tough for the committee to make you sit out why they let a Notre Dame in or an Iowa or something like that.
And this is not a perfect example.
Yeah.
Hell, it may not even be a good example, Shane. But we need to only go back to last year.
Yeah.
When Ohio State was ready to run their damn coach out after he lost to Michigan. And then we all know what happened. They beat the shit out of everybody in the playoff. You know what I mean? So I don't think Texas has that in them. But they have the talent to compete with everybody that will make the college football playoff. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. If they beat A&M in some fluke-ass game where they win by single digits, I don't think they're getting in.
Yeah.
What if they beat A&M by, like, 20? You got to put them in, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's got to be a pretty sizable win, I think. You know, kind of like a first half of a South Carolina game, you know?
Well, you know how the Cousins could win, Shane?
How's that, my friend?
By going to St. Geek! Oh! Go check them out, Shane. College football, we've only got so many games left. Maybe you're a Carolina fan. You're like, hell, I ain't going to no more games.
Yeah.
But maybe, you are not a Carolina fan. You are a fan of a winning program. You actually want to go see your team. You want to go. You're an A&M fan. You want to go down to Austin.
Or women's basketball. You know?
Whatever sport. They got you covered over at SeatGeek. So go check them out. And most importantly, don't forget the promo code SEC10 to get 10% off your full order. It's not just sports. It's concerts. It's comedy shows. It's all that. Yeah. They got you covered over at SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com, or just download the SeatGeek app. Same deal. SEC10 will work on the app, works on the website, get you 10% off. We're just trying to save you some money. Just helps the show. Help people helping people. We're like Coach Elko over here. You know what?
That's right, man. Just got me some tickets myself. So I'll be at the Tennessee basketball game tomorrow. Yeah. 10% promo code near an aisle. Come on. Some lucky guest is like, wait, what's that seat number? I don't want to make – I'm going to have to upgrade my seats, you know?
And the last thing on A&M, Shane.
Yeah.
I forgot, after the game, they made it official. Mm-hmm. Elko signed an extension, contract extension.
Yep.
Reportedly worth around $11 million. Going to make him a top five highest paid coach in the country. I know the A&M fans, they'll give him that man whatever he wants right now.
Yeah, right now. Yep.
But did they overpay?
I don't know.
Top five coach?
I mean, that's in the moment, right? That's everybody's firing their coaches and whatnot. Let's secure our guy. So I feel like that may be the case. Let's just hope it's not 2 years down the road. We're like, wait, how much did we guarantee this guy?
I would have liked to see that after the playoff, you know, but again, there's jobs open and there's all this. So
I hear that it's a very lucrative bonus structure. So, and I like that because I feel like that's what coaches need to get, be a part of, right? You know, pay them if they're doing extremely well. And exactly, I mean, undefeated at this moment, no reason we can't pay our coach now.
Right. Well, that was the perfect segue, Shane.
Yeah.
To them Miss Rebels, Shane, beating Florida in the Lane Kiffin Bowl 34-24. And what you know it, Shane, only two teams in the Southeastern Conference have reached 10 wins, and Ole Miss would be the second after A&M. So Ole Miss, man, this was a wild game, Shane.
Yep.
Rebels jumped out to a 10-0 lead. Florida, they fought their ass off. They were winning at halftime 24-20. Of course, they got outscored in the second half, 14-0. So, again, Ole Miss, a comfortable win, relatively. Didn't cover the spread, just like I told you they wouldn't. Kevin Lacy, man, what a beast he is. 31 carries, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns. Trinidad, not his best performance, but hell, even we say not his best performance. He threw for 301 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He had a rough throw on a 4th and goal that really would have ended this one early. Again, we mentioned Lacy, 237 rushing yards Ole Miss had to Florida's 108. That was kind of the key to the football game. But, man, all the drama, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin, what's he going to do? I mean, I never seen anything like this, Shane. We got the Florida beat people, beat writers. They're in the post game asking Kiffin questions about Florida, too. I mean, I knew this was going to get wild and out of hand, but I never thought it would be quite this wild. And I heard, I don't know if you saw this, Shane. I don't know if the cousins saw this, but Theo Vaughn was down there.
Yeah.
I thought he was a Vanderbilt fan. But well, I guess now he's an Ole Miss fan. And he was telling, again, he's a comedian. Yeah. Just take this with a huge grain of salt. He may have been trolling. I don't know. But he was telling people on the sideline, Kiffin's staying in Oxford. So, again, just add that to the intrigue here. But I guess in fairness to – let's not be rude. What did Kiffin say? In fairness to the players, let's discuss this game real quick. What did you think of Ole Miss dominating here?
Yeah, I don't know about Theo Vaughn. I mean, he was just out to eat with Pavia. So I don't know if that is a credible source. But I will say that this game, the score doesn't reflect how close this was. I felt like, honestly, there was a moment the Florida Gators are going to win this thing. I feel like they kind of let this one get away from them a little bit. Obviously, there's some, you know, there was some, one thing we've not talked about, absolute shit officiating this weekend. This was one of those games. I felt like there were some really bad calls both ways. You know, I feel like there was a questionable interception or no pass interference. There was a touchdown that could have been. But anyway, man, I just that was highlighted as well. But more importantly, this one here, you know, we talk about Heismans, and I feel like we catch ourselves, you know, looking at Heisman moments, and I think Lacy obviously had a Heisman moment in this one, but I do think Trinidad did as well. There was a couple plays that fourth down where he kind of threw it to himself, you know, if you will. He made a play. There was that touchdown. I think it was in the second quarter that was just an absolute Superman touchdown throw. So this is a guy that when needed the big moment, he created that. And I don't know. I feel like at the end of the day, the Ole Miss defense was the side that really took that step up and, you know, kind of suffocated Florida there in the second half.
Mm-hmm. So, and then again, in the post game, it was a lot of Florida talk.
Yeah.
He got Kiffin. Here's Kiffin. Our buddy Michael Katz asked him directly, I believe the question is, do you plan to be here next year as Ole Miss head coach?
Lane read the story from Ross Dellinger this week that he had that sit down with you, and there was a really striking quote there at the end where you talked about picturing yourself being at the elite Blue Bloods, but you know, you sort of changed and you didn't think it was necessarily a place like Ole Miss, but you've sort of changed your way of thinking and that maybe this is the last chapter. There's a lot of talk about you for coaching searches right now. Do you anticipate being the head coach at Ole Miss next year?
Yeah, I think the last chapter thing makes me feel like I'm like 80 years old, you know? So I don't like being old, so I don't really like that part of the story that makes me feel like I'm on my last chapter. So I love what we're doing here. Today was awesome, and I don't talk about that stuff. And really, to even talk about it right now would be so disrespectful to our players and how well they played today. So, you know, we got a lot of things going here, doing really well, and I love it here. So,
we don't talk about that right now, Shane. But Ole Miss fans will let you know. He was tweeting like minutes before the game.
Yeah.
Florida governor was at the game.
Uh-huh.
Like he's tweeting about that. Oh, I don't talk about this, but he's trolling the fan base.
Yeah.
And then there was another question. Again, this was like the whole press conference that someone asked him about the Blue Bud comments. And, you know, you've turned Ole Miss into this great program. The fans supporting you. They're giving you whatever you want. Is this a Blue Bud now? And he said it was today.
Yeah.
And then he said, did you see it last week? When they played the Citadel, and it wasn't a sellout.
Yeah.
So I think in fairness to him, that I think he was joking. But when everybody's on damn pins and needles, and he said, well, last week we weren't a Blue Bud. You know what I mean? Like, he knows 1,000% what he's doing. He's milking this for what he's milking it for, Shane, is attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ole Miss people they're at their wit's end with this. But he controls the situation.
Negative emotion's better than no emotion at all, you know? And I feel like, yes, Florida fans, I love the fact they traveled. A lot of Florida fans at this game here just to see our next coach, you know, going to the high school games. And I mean, they really all in on this thing. And it was a sellout. This is the largest crowd they had since Georgia last year, you know? So, I felt like they did show up. But the problem is, Mike, you know, I've seen games won by crowd noise. You know, I have. They say that it doesn't matter, but it matters when your guy's rattled. Look at Marcel. If Texas A&M would have been down by that in Athens or even William Bryce Stadium, no way they would have won that game. No way they would have came back. So I do feel like the fans, you want them, you know, they're in the feed. I see a lot of Ole Miss cousins in here right now, but are they reciprocating that at the games? And because you got to remember where Lane's been. Lane was at Alabama. He was at Tennessee. He travels to Athens in these games. He's seen large, loud, chaotic environments. And I'm not saying that's the only factor, but I feel like he's got a lot on his mind right now. And I do not think that this is a done deal by no means, one way or the other.
And now they got a bye week to just simmer on it. You know,
track that plane this weekend. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is the weekend. If you're gonna GPS, you're gonna put one of them little Apple things on him, you know, so you know where he's at all the time. This is the weekend to do it.
All right. Well, another coach to keep your eye on.
It's
only Eli Drinkwitz, Shane. Shout out Missouri beating Mississippi State 49-27. Whoa, this is going to be known as the Ahmad Hardy game, Shane. 25 carries, 300 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns. Missouri averaged 9.4 yards per rush if you take out the sacks, so just true rushes here. Hardy was just the 6th player in SEC history, Shane, to hit 300 rushing yards in a game. That's the second highest total ever for a Missouri Tiger. He's had 700-yard games, and man, this was kind of a wild. I don't know if ugly is the right word, but you were talking penalties, turnovers. Yeah. State had 3, Missouri had 2. Shout out the Tiger defense; they had 13 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 interceptions, fumble recovery. Mississippi State got outclassed in this one, and you know, again, Missouri was fairly one dimensional. I was hoping to see a lot more of our quarterback Zoller's here, see what he could do, but we didn't even need him. He did wisely. They had a situation where they caught Mississippi State offsides. He launched it deep for a touchdown. It was a beautiful pass to our other freshman Donovan there. So, you know, solid performance. This is, you know, sometimes we worry, Shane, we sit here and worry, like, tough loss. How will a team respond? I truly never had that concern with this program.
Yeah.
Because of what Drink has built. These players were not going to give up. This is the difference between like a Florida that just fired Billy Napier and Missouri that is, again, have they met all the expectations? No, but we're talking literally one of the top four winningest programs in the conference the last 3 or 4 years. So I didn't think these players were going to put it in the tank. And to come out here and damn near score 50, and you were essentially one-dimensional on offense. Now, that one dimension was outstanding. But, I mean, I think this was like a culture win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I looked up and I said, why is Hardy still in the game? And they're like, it's 301 yards. I was like, oh, I see what he was doing. I see. Hey, it was senior night, and you could feel that. You know, I do like – there's a few teams that I feel like have a little extra – bonding going on, you know, a little extra chemistry, if you will. And I feel like that's why I was a little worried, you know, because if one or two let down, especially captains, what does that do the following week? But I feel like having senior week, the rock game, as Drink likes to call it, I feel like that was at the right moment. And calling their, it's almost like calling your shot. And remember that old Babe Ruth just kind of taking that bat and pointing at the left wall, you know, that's where I'm taking it. It's like, I've got heart. It's like, I'm going here. You can't stop it. And they couldn't. Oh, Mississippi State could not stop it. And more importantly, Mike, because Hardy's going to steal the headlines, but that defense, man, that defense was all over the place. Not just the interceptions for touchdowns, but I feel like a key one was there was a moment in this game. Mississippi State has got first and goal at the 2-yard line, and it results basically in Mizzou having the ball on the other side, you know, after a block. You know, that for me was the defense. There was a little bend, but not break. And when it became those moments that they got to put their feet down, they did that. And shout out to those boys because they don't get enough respect.
Right. Now, we're going to give respect to Missouri. We didn't really talk Mississippi State much at all.
Yeah.
What, man.
Is Shapen done? Are we done with Shapen?
I'm done with all these.
Yeah.
I'm done with Lebby, to be honest with you. Now, again, maybe he shocks the world and wins the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
But I don't know what we're doing here, man. I'm not very optimistic on the future of State. Are you?
I'm not. But I it's funny because I still think Lebby's a great play caller.
Right.
But big moments, he's a terrible coach. And, right. And maybe that comes with time, but there's no such thing as time in the SEC. You gotta know it now. And we're sitting here year two, and I'm like, do I feel better about the Mississippi State going into year three? You know, I don't know. It just depends on, I guess, the acquisitions we make in the offseason, mainly around not just the players, but the coaching staff. I feel like there needs to be a few changes in that locker room as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm down on them, Shane. I'm down on them. Now they got 2 weeks to prepare. Go shock the world, and you win me over. You know what?
You know who wins me over every time I see him? In the comment section, Cousin Rick. Giggle, Cousins, running late. Have y'all covered the Aggies? Yes, we did. That was in the first half, Rick. We're in the second half right now. Beat the hell out of Sanford. The curb stop Texas, 8-4 next.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan. Cousin Rick, Giggum, Aggies.
Yeah, we pulled a reverse Aggie here. We got you in the first half, so the second half's going to be all downhill for you, Cousin Rick. But we do appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
All right, and then, man, speaking of glorious football, Shane.
But before we move on, real
yes,
quick,
sir.
Coach did talk about, he kind of went Butch Jones talking about championships here. Bowl champions, a lot of things to still play for, but they do. I feel like this next week in particular is a game that they could absolutely, I mean, you talk about getting one, right?
They can eliminate Oklahoma.
Absolutely. And this is going to be a rivalry moving forward, whether these fan bases like to admit it or not. They're part of the big three that's coming up. So I do feel like, yeah, you may not be in the college football playoff, but by God, they got a lot to fight for next weekend.
Mm. They better stop Hardy. That's all I better say. You can stop Hardy. They can own Missouri. You know what?
It's going to be crazy. We're going to get to it tomorrow and Tuesday. But yeah, I feel like you talk about two animals. I mean, this is one of the best defensive fronts I've seen. One of the best running games I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's going to be crazy.
Now, good football, and then there's this. LSU, at least you won. You kept the golden boot by beating Arkansas 23-22. Man, do I feel bad for them Hogs, Shane. They fall to 2-8, losing every damn game close. Arkansas, I actually jumped out. If you didn't watch this game, you'd probably be stunned. Arkansas led this thing 14-0, and we both picked them. I was thinking, buddy, do I feel like a genius? I got this thing. Then LSU scored the next 16 points. They each scored one touchdown in the second half. This was an ugly, ugly game. Garrett Nussmeier did not play. Michael Van Buren, you know, he had some decent moments, but nothing special, I didn't think, in this ball game. Talen Green, buddy, threw a terrible pick right before halftime. That was a backbreaker. Arkansas got stuffed on the goal line on 4th and inches. Mm-hmm. And again, you lose by one. Shane, if you had told me that Arkansas had 3 turnovers and LSU had 0,
yeah,
I would have said, damn, I guess LSU won by 20, 30 points, right? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, again, just 2 turnovers, you probably win this damn game. It's almost impossible to win a Southeastern Conference football game being -3 in the turnover margin, yet Arkansas had opportunities to do it. Buddy, this was a tough, tough watch, and I put myself through the pain and sorrow, Shane, of a rewatch this morning. I guess I'm just a masochist over here, but, man, it must be rough to be a Razorback.
It always reminds me, you know, Arkansas just – like those movies, those like kid movies you used to watch, and you're like, hey, you got to hold this. And they hand it to like the smallest kid. And it's like, whatever you do, don't drop it, you know? And that little kid's just shaking like that, you know? That's Arkansas. It's like, you got the lead, don't blow it. And there they go. Every single time, it feels like it's like they're destined to just lose games. Like you said, they start out 14-0 run, right? But I feel like I've been praising this kid all year long, and I got to tell you, this may have been some of the worst passing I have seen from Arkansas this entire season. Those 2 interceptions alone, man, they were ugly. They were in the worst timing possible, and it just kind of stole some of that momentum, and it got a little bit of that crowd noise back into it. So Arkansas defense, man, they look – only LSU can make Arkansas's defense look legit. They looked really good at times, and I do want to give a shout-out to Van Buren, because I'm watching this game, and it's not a fun game. It's a terrible – it's a hard watch, guys, all right? You have trouble sleeping, get up, put this one on your TiVo. Is that still a thing? Yeah. And so when you're watching this game, Mike, I'm watching Van Buren, and I'm saying, you know what? If Nuss would have been back there on that play, he would have been sacked. So statistically, yes, he did not wow you, but there were several moments in this game, but because of his legs and his athleticism, they were able to keep the chains moving and keep away from some of those big negative plays that I felt like Nussmeier would have had in this game. So yeah, I don't know his situation. I don't know if he's going to play anymore, but I feel like Van Buren is going to give this team the best look moving forward until the season's over.
Yeah, and we should have said that too, Shane. LSU, you know, interim coach, obviously.
Right.
Starting quarterback's not there. You get down 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know, weaker programs. Again, I hate to keep throwing Florida under the bus, but, you know, like last week, Florida just let go of the rope.
Yeah.
LSU could have easily let go of the rope.
Yeah.
Early game, you're used to playing at night. You're down 14 to a shitty team. Yet they kept battling.
Yeah.
So that's a credit to LSU and those players in that locker room. So shout out to them. And shout out Stephen Up. He made an excellent point, Shane. Now, he said undefeated. It's not quite. But Arkansas, 27 points away from being 9-1. Notre Dame, they got absolutely stomped. But basically the rest, if you can give them 27 more points, I just did the math while you were talking, it's accurate, they'd be 9-1.
Wow. No wonder they're so sour right now.
Good night.
Oh, if you're an Arkansas fan, hit that thumbs up because you're due. I appreciate you doing that.
All right, then we had two laughers real quick, Shade. We had Tennessee.
Yeah.
42-9. And hell, I mean, if you didn't watch this game, and I wouldn't blame you if you didn't, you tell me, Shane. I didn't even think this was that good of a performance by Tennessee. I thought they'd win by a lot more. They had a lot of the starters in a lot later than I thought they would.
Yeah.
This was, again, 42-9. I'm not firing hype or anything, but this, I was not very impressed overall. I mean, there were plays. I'm not saying they were, like, awful, but I wasn't very impressed with this win. Were you?
No, it's kind of sloppy at times. Obviously, there's some really bad interceptions in this game, and I can't help but think that if this would have been Vanderbilt, we would have lost this game. You know, so
right.
Obviously, this can be used as a learning, you know, game. This is the ability to not lose and have a bad performance was a little bit of a luxury this week. But you know, you go to the swamp and you play like this, you're going to lose. So this method of football will not work moving forward, but naturally I felt like there would be a little bit of a letdown coming into this thing. So it was a well-placed New Mexico State game, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, maybe New Mexico State is awesome. That's where Pavia comes from.
Yeah, know? Absolutely.
But hey, you know who was impressive? I know the competition was not great, but how about damn Kentucky Wildcats? They gave Tennessee Tech her first loss of the season, 42-10.
Mm-hmm.
Man, these Wildcats, Shane, they're over the moon for Mark Stoops. Give him a contract extension. We only had two punts in this football game. Dominating performance. Tennessee Tech didn't do much of anything on us. And I kind of kid, but you take care of business. Wasn't sloppy. There's probably points in time this season, Shane, where I said, you know what, if you would, let's say after the Georgia game,
yeah,
if you would have said, all right, let's fast forward, or hell, even the Tennessee game, let's fast forward to Tennessee Tech. Is there any shot that undefeated Tennessee Tech pulls the upset? I'd be like, there probably is, you know what? But no, Kentucky took care of business, did what they had to do, and hey, now they get Kentucky travels to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And the SEC shows are going to be there. So the game of the week in the SEC, Kentucky Vanderbilt, who would have thought it?
Yeah, not me. Not me. I felt like this was at best a 4-win team, at times a 3-win team. So I'm kind of surprised, honestly, by the production that we're seeing here. But there's two guys, man. This Cutter, this McDowell, these guys, this Kentucky, I did not imagine up to this point that this would be a well-balanced football team. Brother, they are hitting on all cylinders at the right time. Defense, obviously, I try not to pump them up too much because it is Tennessee Tech, but undefeated 10-0 Tennessee Tech. This was a big win because this is a game I think they would have lost week three, week four. This is a program that's starting to get right at the right time, and now you got a Vanderbilt game, you got a Louisville game that – I can see a real scenario you win both. And you want to talk about comeback coach of the year? Dude, that'd be Coach Stoops if he's able to finish this season the rest of the season without losing.
Hey, shout out Dealing with Dylan. Shane calling his shots. Kentucky beating Vandy. Bavia ain't going to like that.
No. Theo don't care because he's an Ole Miss, so.
All right, Shane, final thing we like to do here.
Yeah.
On the Sunday shows week 13, can't believe it's week 13 already, opening lines.
Uh-huh.
And we're missing several because there's some FCS games. But not a great slate here. Western Kentucky at LSU. What do you think the opening line, Western Kentucky at LSU?
LSU 17. 24.
Coastal Carolina at South Carolina. What's the opening line?
Beamer says they're playing better. They're playing fast.
Before you answer.
Yes.
So he does a Sunday teleconference.
Uh-huh.
He legitimately said this, which, I mean, it is accurate. I'll give him credit. But he said, we had some recruits on campus. You can make the case A&M, Alabama, two best teams in the Southeastern Conference. We led them in the fourth quarter. He's like, that's what I told the recruits.
Damn. We're getting at the bottom. Yeah. You know, a video game, you got to, like, give so many credits for this one. That, like, that's the lowest one you can do is we had them at half. I would say on this one, Mike, give me South Carolina 14.
23. Coastal Carolina must not be getting this year.
I don't know. Somebody coming back or?
Charlotte.
Yeah.
At Georgia.
Georgia, 33 and a half.
Not even close. 43.
Okay.
Arkansas at Texas.
Ooh. Give me Texas, 11.
You're cheating. You nailed it. 11. Kentucky at Vanderbilt.
Kentucky at Vanderbilt. I'd say Vandy, 4.5.
9. No love for the big blue wall, help bear. You know what?
No.
There's okay.
There's a good bet right there, Mike.
Speaking of a good bet, how about Tennessee at Florida?
Ooh, Tennessee, 6.5.
2.
Oh, my God. A pick 'em.
They're going to be sweating this one
out
for a week.
Oh, jeez.
And then game of the week here, Mizzou at Oklahoma. What's the opening line?
I'd say Oklahoma by 2.
10.
Damn.
That's too much, isn't it?
Damn. Put that on your board.
What if Bo Prabula comes back, too?
Yeah.
I forgot to reference that. He was practicing. He was warming up with the team.
Yeah.
No brace, nothing.
Yeah.
So, and remember, he was on the injury report. He was listed as doubtful. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was ever going to play in this game, but if he's got no brace, nothing. He might be getting. Would you bring him back if he could play? I think you almost have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen enough from Zoller's had an opportunity and he's not done anything with it. So
right,
yeah. But then again, they did win pretty good. I mean, if it ain't broke, pun intended. Don't.
All right, let's go through the super chats. Shout out the legend.
The legend.
The legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted. Oh, you'll like this one, Shane. Sooners for life.
Ooh.
Welcome. And then we got
Steven Up, our buddy.
Rotad.
Boys showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you Steven Up. Even in a loss, he's man enough to show unlike so many others. Mm-hmm. He gifted Caleb Overzak. Caleb, welcome.
Welcome.
All day Trey's back, Shane.
There he is.
He gifted Stephen Moore, Stephen Lassen's cousin, if I'm not mistaken. Welcome, Stephen. And then we had Mizzou fan. Appreciate you, buddy. You gave us $10, Shane. When Drake leaves in 2 weeks for another school, who should Mizzou hire? They can match a $12 million. Man, it's pretty wild that Mizzou fans are already, fine with, I don't know if he's fine with it, but you know, most, like, you look at the Ole Miss people, they're like, he ain't leaving. But
I think we say the same guys, right? You'll say Summerall, I'll say Golish, but
I'm trying to think here because Missouri's a unique school.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can win big, but you got to get the right guy.
Yeah.
I think Missouri can attract, a winning coach from a power conference.
Yeah.
It's not like Florida. It's not like Auburn or LSU. It's not a rebuild. It's made to order, Shane.
Shit, they're building, you know?
Right. So, I don't know. I'd have to think. How about this?
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd want him. What about Lincoln Riley?
I mean,
he's got fun offenses, and
it would be kind of fun with the Oklahoma matchup now, you know.
Yeah, man, it is a rivalry, you know what? But that's what I'm talking about, like an established coach.
Yeah,
I think they get him. I don't think we got to go to these G5 ranks. Okay. I really don't.
Okay, all right, man. Well, I say you just keep the guy you got, right?
But the question is, if he leaves, which he may very well leave,
I'm still sticking with my goalish. I feel like just the attitude alone,
goalish.
Yeah, just the offense that he would have. Trust me, Mizzou fans would be ecstatic. Now, the key is the recruiting, because, you know, say what you want, they've been excellent at recruiting here. You know, I'm watching Lacey, and I'm like, don't forget, Lacey was recruited to Mizzou. Could you imagine being able to hold on to him and have a extreme backfield? But yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you could keep him, that would be awesome. But if you can't, then I want to bring somebody in that's exciting. And I think that's what Golish offers anybody's offense.
You know, now this will go a little bit counter to what I already said.
Yeah.
But one guy that I think would kill it there, and people are like, get mad when I bring this guy up. I think they're just ignorant. They don't know much about him.
Yeah.
His team's not that good this year. Quarterback got hurt, out for the season. But just ask Rusty, ask any of these people that really know these coaches.
Yeah.
They say future superstar, Fran Brown. He was at Georgia. Then he went to Syracuse last year and won 10 games.
Yeah.
Man,
he's got some attitude too, you know?
Yeah. Coached under Kirby. Bring that Kirby defense.
Players love him. Great players coach.
I think that'd be a home run for Missouri.
Yeah. Man, he's such a smart ass too. I'd love it. I'd love it. I'm all in.
All right, Mizzou fan, he gifted 20 shades. So I went through these. Josh Bruder, Ethan Watkins, Tyler Tubler, cool name, Gatorman, ATX, Garrett Mize, Ty Tiger, Restricted Airspace Podcast, Radio Man Stuff, Feral Hogman, Jay Grizz, Mark Walkins, Fluorite, hope I said that right, Zach Jackson, Jareth Maholden, Unrealistic Cliff Burton, I knew a Cliff Burton, but he was realistic, Kevin Lynch, Corey Hill, Chris Myers, Mike W., and George Mott,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy, Mizzou fan number 7. Hey, well, I missed this one. Russ.
Yeah.
Beamer, the inflatable tube man, shouldn't crow at half and bet against Marcel Reed.
Ooh. I didn't say he's perfect.
How about this one from Truffle Shuffle? Do teams like A&M and Georgia want the SEC championship game?
Nope.
Is the bye better than home game to build momentum?
Well,
I think A&M wants it. I think A&M wants it. I think they want that SEC championship.
Yeah.
You got to get it before Texas, you know?
Yeah.
It's bad enough Texas made it to the game before you did, but you want to win it before they do.
But I think, true, sir, I mean, if you're asked the coaches, neither one of them would want it, right? I mean, there's nothing to gain other than a little money, right? Well, I should say a lot of money and maybe a little, you know, viewership or something like that. But
What if that's the difference between the top four seeds get a bye in the playoff?
Yeah.
This could be the difference between playing the first round and getting a bye. So, right, it's not a bye of, you know, you have to play that week. But if you win it, you're guaranteed a bye in the playoff.
What if I told you you could have a bye or a bye and play Georgia or no Georgia and get to play Indiana?
Give me Indiana. But it wouldn't even be them. It would be like BYU or something stupid.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Token. A loss is a loss, but Ole Miss performance against Georgia's looking better and better. Not a terrible loss if you have one. That's true.
Hell yeah. Little token.
How about this? Alamo Monkey. I'm still not convinced I didn't die at halftime. Who's he a fan of? You think Carolina or A&M?
Alamo Monkey, I would say A&M. Has to be A&M, yeah.
Okay. Appreciate you. P5 gave us a $10 sticker.
Thank you, cuz.
Token, every show. Hotty Toddy, he ain't leaving, Mike. Say it.
He gone.
Forrest, appreciate you. Legend has it already still out there blowing the doors off state secondary.
300 yards, man. Jeez, that's a long ways.
And then Lacey's right behind him. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. No, got I some get
great,
it.
Great running
500
backs.
Yards. You know, and that's one of the things maybe we're not talking about near as much. It's always like a quarterback thing. And Lacey and Hardy, they're not going to win the Heisman. But I do think that 5, 7, 8 years from now, when we're watching these kids in the NFL, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. He did play for Mizzou. Oh, he did play at Ole Miss. You know, I feel like these are like just freak athletes that sometimes we get a crop coming through here of just like unbelievable running backs. And this is a grouping right now we're seeing.
Right. Shout out Carl Jukes, the most rabid fan base. Don't give a damn about the color blue because we bleed orange. Ooh, I wonder if he'll keep that energy all week.
Yeah.
Florida. Yeah. Marty, call your shot now. How many SEC teams in the playoff? Give me 5.
I like it. I'd love 6, but 5's good. 8. Sankey. I'm with Sankey here.
Serial killer. Appreciate you. Florida fans hitting that refreshing on Zillow to check if Kiffin has listed his house. Arky fans checking Jack Daniel sales in Fayetteville and signs at Coach O coming home. I don't think it's going to be Coach O.
But no.
Did we get this one, Shane? Rick, appreciate you. Tough.
No.
Horns Thank choices. You, do you send the Aggies to the SEC championship while the Horns watch, or do you give the Aggies a home playoff while the Horns watch? Tough choices. Fortunately, the Horns won't have much say. Giggle! Appreciate you, Rick.
Yeah, they've already moved on to basketball, Mike, you know.
Oh, and then one thing, Shane, I've been delaying this.
Yes.
Because I wanted to give a shout out. I like to do the Sunday show where we typically have the largest audience here.
Yeah.
But shout out the legend JP. He gave us a roundup, Shane.
Oh, yes.
We're top donors in October. Top fan bases. A&M, of course, Shane, because they're on this damn historic run. Shout out Cousin Rick. He's been our top donator here.
Thank you, Rick.
LSU, number 2. Shout out Rolls Royce for all his donations. Mizzou fan, number 7. Shout out. He was our Mizzou, number 3. Bama, number 4. Shout out, Stephen Up.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, number 5. All day, Trey.
All day.
Tennessee, 6. Shout out, Crazy Carl Jenkins. Hopefully the love life's going well for you. South Carolina, number 7. Florida, 8. Ole Miss, 9. Oklahoma, 10. Texas, 11. Auburn, 12. Mississippi State, 13. Arkansas, 14. 15. Kentucky, 16. Vanderbilt. Man, maybe we got to stop showing Vanderbilt love.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I know. I know, right? Theo don't like, I mean, he likes all SEC teams. Why can't he come on here and do one little donation, you know?
And then, oh, man, JP's done it a step further.
Yeah.
He's broken it down by how many memberships per user.
Yeah.
Rolls Royce gifted in October, Shane.
Yeah.
142
Jesus.
Memberships. Shout
Damn.
Out. Rolls Royce.
Thank you, Rolls. He must be in the machine. What's it called? Machine room right now. Yeah. He'll be catching this one up tomorrow.
And All Day Trey gifted 59.
Damn, thank you, Trey.
JR, 45.
The legend.
Stephen Up, 52.
The other legend.
Mizzou fan, number 7, 42.
Yes, sir.
SEC Sean, 40. So
Thank you.
Good night. That's insanity, isn't it?
Mm-mm-mm. Thank you guys tremendously. And I thank all the cousins on the feed, you know, that just hit the thumbs up, that share it with their buddy at work or send them a clip, some dumb shit that Shane said. You know, that means a lot, getting the word out there. And we're not over after football, man. We're jumping right back into basketball after this, too. So be sure to always stay tuned in and have those notifications on.
Yes, sir. Anything else, buddy, before we wrap this one up?
No, I am just, man, what? It's like, I don't want to go to work now, right? It's like you watch this wonderful weekend, you're like, oh, shit.
And we got YouTube TV back. It was wonderful. You know what?
Absolutely. Well, I want to give a shout out for all the cousins still on. Thank you, JP, for putting this list together as well. Cousin JR, Stephen Up, All Day Trey, Russ TH, BKRPR, Dealing with Dylan, Mizzou Fan Number 7, Truffle Shuffle, Alamo Monkey, P5 Crowdy, Johnny Delgado, Elko's Massive Nutsack, Shin, Tolkien, Cyber Nerd, Carl Jenkins, Cousin Rick, Marty Funkhauser, and Serial Killer. Thank you, cousins. Thank you all. Thank you, JP, for putting that list together. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Smart Guy's on.
Well, not in the afternoon. It's the unsmart guy. Chris Barler, Oklahoma fans, going to want to tune in. 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 Central for the Marler Monday Shame. They got it out for blood. He's guaranteeing Oklahoma's going to suck ass week after week, and he's wrong each time. So, hey, maybe I persuade him to pick Missouri to win. You know?
A&M's are nervous because I'm on the bandwagon.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.